Okay, what episode are we at here? The Blaze Season 2, Episode 18, as we hit, I guess we're at the end of January now. That's where we sit. It's for Rivershore Golf Links. Rivershore could be firing up here. See, the temperature's like 13 degrees next week in Kamloops. So get the snow all melted off, and we could be back at Rivershore here maybe in late February, probably in March. But good on Rivershore Golf for being our title sponsor for The Blaze, Episode 18. We have a lot to discuss today. The team is playing some better hockey. It's all happening on the road. They've won two of their last three games, winning in Wenatchee. Good effort Saturday despite the loss in Victoria, and then the win Sunday to wrap it up with the Royals Hockey Day festivities going on in Victoria. We'll talk more about that. Olin Zellweger makes that long-awaited NHL debut. We've said it on the show for a season now. Let Zelly cook, hashtag, right? So we'll spend some time on that today. Great to see him do his thing with the Ducks, Blazers, and Kelowna this weekend. Home-and-home set. We'll dive into that as we can here. Give you a bit of a preview of that two-game series coming up and games 3 and 4 in the 8-game season set. Harrison Brunick back from Top Prospects game. It sounds like that could be the last Top Prospects game as well in that state, in that form. Jeff Merrick tweeting something about a game featuring WHL prospects against USA prospects. Not sure how that'll all work, to be honest with you there. We got a great guest coming up. Good guy, Nick Merrick of the Portland Winterhawks. He'll stop by in a few minutes. He's in Las Vegas. Yeah, he's in Vegas right now. Get me on that schedule. Nick will stop by a little bit later on, probably in about 10, 15 minutes or so. So there it is. That's the tee up. That's the rundown. Lots to discuss. It is The Blaze, Episode 18 for Rivershore Golf Links. Okay, we call this the opener. It's for Bryce Automotive and Customs, and had a couple of texts back and forth with Danny from Bryce, and she'll be hopefully jumping on with us here in the next couple of weeks as we check in on Sponsors Corner. But Bryce Automotive, custom car, pickup truck repairs. They do restorations, custom paint and body work, custom engine work, just off Tronquil, sort of in behind where Mr. Lube is, and I guess it's like a Canco gas station, where Noel's Exhaust used to be. Full-service automotive repairs, vintage car rebuilds, over 60 years of automotive knowledge. Okay, good win Sunday in Victoria. Really good win. 6-2. First time scoring 6 goals for this club since November 24th, a 6-3 home ice win over Vancouver. They outshot the Royals, first of all, the Saturday game, 27-22. They gave up, though, 5 goals in a span of 11 minutes, and that turned a lead into a deficit they couldn't crawl out of. Bit of a sour feel after that one, but the team made up for it big time. A lot of focus was put on that Sunday, what was it, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock game, and the guys delivered. Blake Svetlakov, what a game for him. 4 points. 4-point game. 2 shorthanded goals from Emmett Finney. That put the Blazers shorthanded goal total from 1-3 in like a matter of like, what was that? Like a minute? Not even a minute? So Emmett Finney, those were 2 big goals for the hockey team for sure. Team played well on the island. I really did. Really did think that. And you know who else thought that? Royals head coach James Patrick, who's so honest in his take and his thoughts. Doesn't matter. Doesn't try to candy coat it or invert something or create a hypothetical situation, which we've talked about on this show from a former coach in Victoria. Just got his take on what he saw out of the Blazers on the weekend.
Here's what I saw. The chances were almost even. Zone time was about 60-40 for them. I thought the first half of the game, I thought they outplayed us by a large margin. They won most of the 50-50 battles, spent a lot of time in our zone, and a big part, I mean, they played very aggressive. They outchanged us. I mean, I thought they were winning in every zone, I thought they outcoached us. They played very aggressive. They played like a team that had nothing to lose.
And again, I appreciate the honesty and the knowledge there. His team has played well, too. In fact, they've probably been the biggest surprise in the Western Conference, sitting where they are right now, battling in that 4-5 slot for home ice advantage in the first round. So I asked Logan Barros, Blazer captain, about that nothing to lose comment from the Royals head coach.
That's definitely a compliment. Yeah, that's something you always want to hear. You know, when you got nothing to lose, you're obviously putting it all on the line and going after it, and that's what we got to do if we want to win and be competitive in games.
Okay, let's see if it carries over to the weekend against Kelowna, who's playing for a whole lot more. They're trying to get into that 4-5 bracket. Everybody wants to be 4-5 in the West. Everybody wants to be. That's the hip place to be. That's the cool club. Get into that 4-5 bracket, because that means you avoid Prince George, Portland, or Everett. All three of those teams really have separated themselves and will be tough first round of matchups. So everybody's trying to get into that 4-5 club for sure. Blazers coming off that overtime win in Wenatchee here. They'll play their sixth straight road game Friday in Kelowna after this weekend. Just 9 road games left on the schedule. They have gone through other tough trips. You know, they've gone through, you know, some tough stretches of road games. Most of that is all gone now. The hotel night stays are pretty much over, like lengthy stays. 14 home games remaining. 9 on the road, 14 at home. And of course, this week, what else did we have? Oh yeah, we had this happen too.
Now Zellweger again. Quick wrist shot. Tip in front. Carey! Sam Carrick gets his 7th of the year.
I've been saying it. Let Zelly cook. NHL debut nearly 4 months into the NHL season. I'll take a closer look at that coming up in a minute. Everybody knows where I stand on this. But I think we still have to make the Let Zelly Cook t-shirts, right? We've been talking about the hashtag Let Zelly Cook. Let him play his game. Let him do his thing here for a while. I won't rest. I won't rest on this until we sell like 10 of these shirts, and or if we get like Zelly wearing one in the pregame, taping up his stick on the Ducks bench at the Honda Center with Let Zelly Cook on there. Oh yeah, that'd be great. Maybe like a show logo of the Blaze. Get like a Rivershore logo in there. That'd be great, right? Okay, take a step back. Anyways, yeah, more on that in a second when we go to On the Move. Back to Blake Svetlakov. Great game for him Sunday. 4-point game. He's done that 3 times now in his WHL career, a 4-point game. It was nearly a 5-point game. A case could be made that he assisted on Emmett Finney's first empty net shorthanded goal. You look at it, it's off the faceoff. He kind of wins the draw back, and then it squirts to Jesse Sanj, who just pushed it ahead to Emmett Finney. Emmett did the rest, got it into the empty net. Jesse got an assist on that. And there is a change of possession, though, I think, in that scrum, which would negate an assist for Blake Svetlakov, but that could have been a 5-point game, a 5-point game for Blake Svetlakov. A Blazer has not done that this season. Blake's been a good leader for this young team here this year. We spoke.
Learning lots here, but that's kind of the way these things go. And like I said, just getting to know the guys and getting together with them here on the road, it's been really fun.
Oh, and Mateo Kochi made his return back from World Juniors from Czechia. Battled some illness after the tournament. Good to have him back. Now, he sent a video to his Blazer teammates after Czechia beat Canada in the quarterfinals. It was a video of him celebrating the win over Canada in the quarters, and I asked him about sending that video.
Yeah, because it's guys, when I go to the World Juniors, they me win every game, no with Canada.
Yeah,
but I send a video because it's for us country, we are a small country, and for us it's amazing.
Okay, so look for Mateo back in that tournament next year. He'll play a much bigger role than he did this year, because next year will be his 19-year-old season. He knows it, and spoke about that fact. The tournament's in Ottawa next year, too. So something to look forward to for Mateo. That is the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs. Okay, let's go on the move for Thompson Valley Charters. They need bus drivers, folks. They have the business. They have the buses. They need a few extra drivers. Go online, tvcbus.ca. Find your ticket to travel and adventure. And Roger and Diane, who are owners of Thompson Valley Charters, actually were on the island. They took in the Sunday game just as tourists going onto the island. They were on their way to Tofino. So they took in the game. They stopped by the booth for a visit as well. Good to see those two. Thompson Valley Charters on the move. And Olin Zellweger, finally on the move from San Diego to Anaheim. Boy, life's tough, right? When you're in San Diego playing hockey and they're like, yeah, can you get to Anaheim? We'll send an Uber. I'm trying to think of how far that would be. San Diego, Anaheim. Oh, I've done that road before. Pacific Coast Highway. Well, if you take the Pacific Coast Highway, it's like 5 hours. But if you take the freeway, then it's like an hour, 20 minutes or so. But what a life, right? Like, that's nice stuff, right from San Diego to Anaheim. So I was been really pumping Zellweger's tires here to say, like, it's about time. Like, this move is, like, long overdue. You know, called him, like, a freak unicorn of talent. And I actually got a text from a former Blazer who never played with Zellweger here. And kind of was like, boy, you're sure, like, pumping the tires here, a little unbiased or biased with Zellweger. And I was like, you know what? Like, I've just never seen anything like him in the WHL. He's sort of, you know, like this hybrid type of player that, you know, the best I've seen in my 20 whatever years. If I'm going to get behind something, I'm going to get behind that, right? But this player made a point, though. The NHL values defense first. And I get that. I mean, I guess we were just a bit spoiled. Zellweger was sort of like the Rover in slow pitch. You just, wherever you needed him to be here, he was that guy. He's not going to play like that in the NHL. I'd love for him to play like that. And by the way, shout out to Anaheim Ducks social media crew. They did a great job profiling his NHL debut. They had a cool video of as he came out of the car, pulling into the rink, you know, sort of that hero shot in slow motion. They did a great little thing on his rookie solo lap. They had an ISO camera on him on that assist. So got to see his reaction and everything like that. So, hey, Ducks social media, take a bow. Did a great job. You could see how much of a big deal this is for Anaheim and maybe their fan base, because they're like, Olin Zellweger, like, we've heard a lot about him. Like, why isn't he in the NHL? Like, why isn't he here all the time? So he comes in there, does a great job. But I just feel like, I guess there's a little bit of like angst with me or something with him in that organization. Like the coach, Greg Cronin is his name. Training camp, the coach made a reference that they had to get Zellweger to value defense like he does offense. It's a good quote, but I don't think he should be punished for valuing offense, right? So anyways, he plays the game, 14 minutes, third star in Anaheim. And after the game, same coach makes a comment. Nah, didn't really notice him, but that's a good thing. And I'm thinking, like, didn't really notice him? Like, Blazer fans, bear with me for a second. Blazer fans, answer this question. How many times did you not notice Olin Zellweger in a game? How many times? Or notice him, like, every time he was on the ice? You probably noticed him for the right reasons, right? Because he did something that, like, lifted you out of your seat. And, like, you looked at your buddy and were like, oh, my God, did you see that? Like, for me, personally, some of the things he did, I was just like, man, that's crazy stuff. And you didn't notice him? Like, you didn't notice him? I mean, that's, I don't know. I don't like that comment. And that's where I think there's a bit of something with the organization there. Like, if you're not going to make Olin Zellweger an everyday NHLer, then go and get some value for him. Because I'm sure there's several teams lining up, knowing his body of work, knowing the player he is. AHL All-Star moments ago, like a couple weeks ago. Maybe I'm way off base here. Maybe I don't get the NHL game. But I know what kind of player he is. And we're going to buy you some Zellweger stock here. So here we are recording end of January 2024. I just think he has big things ahead here. And great to see him make his debut. As we're recording this, he's supposed to play in Dallas tonight. So we'll see how that goes. But great to see him stick around. Hopefully he can make more of an impression. Only played 14 minutes the other night, which is just, I get it, okay, third pairing D-man, first power play unit, though, that was cool to see. Anyway, let Zelly cook, right? Let's get the hashtag going on Twitter. Let Zelly cook. Second Blazer, by the way, to make the NHL from last year's team, joining Fraser Minton. Logan Stankoven, still stuck in Texas, in Cedar Park there, with the Stars. And I say stuck like that's a bad thing, but no doubt he's got to see Zelly and Fraser Minton make their debut. And thinking, like, what's going on here? Like, hello? Yeah, remember me? But the thing about Dallas, the Stars have had such a healthy forward group this year. and I'll knock on wood for them. And that's limited their call-ups because they've had healthy bodies and a very consistent lineup. Now, I still expect him to be probably the next one to crack the NHL from last year's team, but they've been fairly fortunate on that front. But then again, I'm not sure who the first call-up out of Texas would be. Maverick Bourque's had a great season, too. They've been sort of the dynamic duo in Cedar Park. So could be Maverick Bourque first up. But Logan Stankoven, that's probably the next one to watch for. Speaking of on the move, Tyson Galloway, Kamloops native, on the move to the Broncos injured list. Yeah, like a week after joining the team. He's out month to month, they say. Lower body injury. That's a big blow for the Broncos, 20-year-old D-man down the stretch. So hopefully, I say month to month, and I'm thinking, okay, like playoffs? Can you get him back for the first round of the playoffs? That's kind of where my mindset goes to for sure. That's on the move, everybody. Thompson Valley Charters. Okay, feature interview time for Hydra Power Wash. I wanted to get Olin Zellweger out on the show this week, and maybe we'll track him down. Have we filled our quota yet of Zellweger talk? Probably not, but maybe we'll get him a chance to catch his breath a little bit. Also, working on a pretty cool guest for a week or two down the road here. A former Blazer who put up all sorts of points. And a guy that's in Kelowna right now. He's coaching some hockey. So stay tuned for that in the coming weeks. Hydra Power Wash is mobile pressure washing services in Kamloops and the BC interior, specializing in heavy equipment, fleet washing, exterior window cleaning, which that season is fast approaching here after winter, full exterior house washes, moss removal from roofs. Email info@hydropowerwash.ca. Text them. Text Christopher. Do it now. You want to book in your stuff for the spring here, your house wash, your roof wash, 250-851-1072. Our featured guest, Portland Winterhawks broadcaster, friend of the show, Nick Merrick. Well, it's great to catch up to this guy. And I even like better where I'm catching up to him from. And I kind of wish I was with him right now because I think sitting beside Nick Merrick at the MGM Sportsbook, I think we could do some damage, Nick. I think that would be a pretty good time.
I think we really could, honestly. I think it's it's always fun. I feel like you get a different energy here when you're in Vegas. Hopefully the sportsbook's odds would like us though if we're throwing some cash that way. But
yeah.
Again, always good to kind of have an impromptu trip. Got a little father son bonding time here between some games after a 15-hour bus ride to Prince George. So got to take advantage of having the week to.
Yep.
No midweek games to worry about. So we're getting a flight quick. So appreciate that I'm able to come over here and see my dad and. Obviously, before we know it, we're back on the mic for another 3-3. So it's going to come up quick.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks for popping by the podcast here this week too. We text a fair bit, but like 10% is about hockey and 90% is about the NFL. So I guess it's only fitting that we're chatting with you in Vegas right now.
It's honestly very true. And the site of the Super Bowl, which I totally forgot.
That's right. So yeah, well, the WHL doesn't play on Super Bowl Sunday. So not going to rule it out. Okay. Not going to rule it out.
All right. I'm here for that. You know, if you want a flag, don't we bring a pennant to you in Kamloops? I just stumbled into some merch town that they had it. So,
there you go.
Next trip up to Canada, I could bring it with me.
Well, it's coming. You got to come here one more time with that powerhouse hockey club. Well, you mentioned Prince George, so let's start there. This was billed as like the top team in the U.S. The top team against the BC Division team here, and you guys by all looks of it, I didn't see any of the action, but checking the box scores and some late heartbreak and some solid play there on the second night, you guys left with a split here. What was that weekend like?
John, it was unbelievable. Like, I know you and I have been around this game long enough to kind of understand when you get some big matchups, and you could tell both those teams knew what was on the line that weekend, and it was more than just the weight of the 2 points in the standings. It was all about, can you beat this other team? Is this a potential playoff matchup you'll run into, no matter the seeds, if it's for round two, if it's a Western Conference championship, if you're trying to win the Western Conference regular season, you name it. Like, there was a lot on the line just in terms of that mental game. And the action on the ice was so sensational. Like, everybody came to play. It was such a tight checking game. Like, usually you'll see games in December and January, and obviously it's right past the trade deadline, which I'm sure we'll hit on that too. But, you know, you're trying to kind of figure out your identity as a team, and that's where things are kind of starting to solidify. And these two teams came out firing. Like, they were playing their A-plus efforts. And it was honestly probably two of the most fun games for me to be on the broadcast for, just to see the excitement and how many shot blocks there were. Like, I know it's not a officially kept stat in the WHL, but yeah, I would say both teams were probably blocking 25-plus shots in the game. Like, it was insane how much they came up for. Like, even, you know, just these pedestrian little floating, you know, point shots. They're like, oh, I'm getting in front of the lane, I'm blocking this. Like, we got to go. We're trying to find numbers anywhere we can. And I think the biggest joke leading it was the fact that there were four games. The season series between Portland and Prince George is done, but none of the four games went to overtime. And I think everybody's general consensus is three of those four probably could have and should have gone to overtime.
Sure.
That's how close they were. So it was just really exciting hockey. And I know I'm extremely biased here. I'm sure the Blazers are probably thinking the same thing from last year's, you know, when it was Seattle and Kamloops there, the two powerhouses. They're probably thinking, man, we just need to see a best of seven. Give us a best of seven, Kamloops and Seattle. And here I am, obviously biased on the Portland side, but I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, you know, this is no disrespect to Everett and Victoria and other teams. Like, there's some good teams out west. But selfishly, I'm like, give me Portland and Prince George the best of seven, because that was some of the most exciting hockey I've seen so far this
year. Yeah, man, it sounds great. I know it was a tough loss with the late goal Riley Hite scored in regulation, but you rebounded Saturday to get the split out of PG. That's huge. We've talked about these two teams, but in my eyes, when you're looking at who has the talent to, you know, represent the WHL or represent the Western Conference, it's those two teams, and it's Everett. Boy, it would sure be nice to avoid one of those two teams in round two. Like, this is going to be quite the little stretch run, I think.
I agree. I think that's kind of part of it, too. Like, I'm sure from the coaching side and the player side, if you're Prince George and you're Portland and you're Everett, you're trying to get in those 1-2 spots. And, you know, ultimately, you just want to have home ice for as long as you can.
Yeah.
So I feel like having that number one seed and home ice throughout the playoffs, assuming you keep winning, is going to be beneficial to the max. But I, you know, there's a lot of competition to go. Like, Everett and Portland have had some good games. It's interesting because I feel like the Winterhawks, I forgot on top of my head, I want to say they're 4-1 against Everett so far this year, but a lot of games still coming up, and a few of those games they didn't have Raymond and they didn't have a lot of, you know, players who were injured. To be fair, Portland didn't have Jan Spoonar for some of those too, and they didn't have Mark Alscher. But then when I was talking with Cole Waldy and Prince George, he was saying, yeah, we're only 1-3 against Everett this year. So it's kind of this dog race with those three. And, you know, I know that's the pretty easy three, and Victoria's better years are still for sure coming up. But I think they're a team with all the moves they made and just kind of quietly making some nice additions, that they're going to be a team that's, you know, kind of on the radar too when it comes to the playoff time. Because, yes, they're young, but they obviously have the talent to put the puck in the net. And ultimately, it's you know, it's kind of that dog-eat-dog race. It's like, well, you just got to be alive in it. You got to put your team in the best spot. And, you know, I could definitely speak from Portland's perspective. I know that series against Kamloops last year in the second round is going to pay dividends, because all those players who were 18 at the time are now 19-year-old. All your 19-year-olds and your Stefan, Claussen, and O'Brien, they're now in their 20-year-old season, so they know what it takes to get to that next level. Like, they've seen that championship team. They've seen a Seattle and a Kamloops that had to make it to the Memorial Cup. Like, they know what it kind of takes. And the effort it takes every time. Like, you know, there's some games where it's like, well, you think you might be able to come back to home and the series is 2-0. Like, we'll just play fine and we'll be okay. Then all of a sudden teams turn on a next notch and you're like, whoa, I gotta match that, you know, that energy. And a lot of it's just from within. You just have to know that within your locker room that you could do it. So I think this next 2 months of the regular season is going to kind of help straighten that out for these clubs in particular. But, you know, just to go back to the Portland Prince George thing, this is where you're a little sad that you're sitting here not even into February and a regular season series to that caliber is already kind of wrapped up.
Yeah, it's crazy, the changing of the guard. You know, the last season here. You know, you mentioned the Blazers, Seattle. You mentioned that. Now those two teams are in the bottom of the conference. You have you mentioned season series. Like, I know there's no love lost with Seattle, and that's always going to be a rivalry here. The Winterhawks will play a major role in if Seattle makes the playoffs this year, because it's got to be like 6 or 7 games left. But more importantly, 3 of your last 4 are against Seattle. So you could maybe kind of have a little playoff series before the playoffs this year.
Without a question. I think that's a good way of putting it, too, because that's kind of what Portland had last year. And it's funny, that was one of their most memorable moments of the season, was when they got to that 40-win plateau, because it's just like one of those subtle goals that the team always puts on itself coming into the training camp, is like, if we get to 40 wins, we have a good team. Like, and we don't need anybody else to tell us why. Like, we just kind of know internally that we hit a lot of our goals to be able to earn 40 wins. And that was what happened last year, where that powerhouse Seattle team, I think they played us three of the last four as well, or four of the last five, or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the team's going into it like, we didn't, we're a Portland team that we didn't add anybody to the deadline. We know what we have in our locker room, but we didn't get the pro cops. We didn't get the Gunthers and the Brad Lamberts to come to town. Like, Chaz Lucas was out injured. That was their, the one piece they really had in the addition last season. And then all of a sudden the team goes in the last game of the regular year and they actually beat Seattle to get from 39 wins to 40. So that was kind of a big deal. So even, Portland last year, the underdog team, if you will, in that series, they were, they brought it. They wanted to get that win. They were fighting for something. So you take that same thought and you flip it to Seattle's perspective. They're going to be playing for something that weekend. It's a rivalry game. It's the last two weekends of the regular season. Like you said, they're, if their playoff implications are on the line there, they're going to be fighting tooth and nail to get whatever they can do to get done. They got, we saw this last week. They got a couple of their big players back in Mijatovic and Gustafson. So, that's two huge pieces back that they have not had basically all year. So I'm sure they're going to be a little bit of a different group. And I think you're right. I think there's seven games left between Portland and Seattle. So the rivalry is going to be pretty crazy here in 2024. But, if you're the Hawks too, in the same light, you probably want to look at that and say, okay, like, Seattle's rebuilding. They have a lot of young players in their team. I think they have like 7 and 16-year-olds or something like that. So you got to take advantage of those too. And that same talking point, that's the chance to get 2 points and make sure you stay at pace, or if not past the Everetts and the Prince George's in your division.
That's right. Like, you got to win out to get that number one seed, because that'll be important for sure with a second round matchup. You mentioned trade deadline. And last year when the Blazers met Portland in that second round series, like the very last game of that series, your head coach and GM Mike Johnston was like on the record to say, we're going for it next year. That wasn't the phrase he used, but he said, we're going to be adding to next year's team. And boy, you look at, Josh Davies, that was a massive deal that has worked out. Tyson Jugnauth, who sort of falls out of the NCAA clouds via Kamloops. And I guess Mike rolled up like Conor McGregor on the trade deadline there last minute, and he swaggered his way in and grabbed Nate Danielson, and I guess that was the flag to say game on, wasn't it?
It 100% was. I think when you look back at the pieces, I know that McCleary and Davies trade in the summer was something that the coaching staff really enjoyed, because obviously you had to move on from one of your soon-to-be 20-year-olds. You had a log jam there. So it's kind of figuring out the pieces, and there was this little bit of that question mark of like, well, who are the three going to be? And I think the coaches were trying to figure that out themselves. But then when they had an opportunity to make a good hockey trade that they knew would benefit them this year, it made sense for them to bring in Davies. And I always heard with Mike and Kyle that they identified Josh Davies during his Bantam year. It just didn't fall in line where they had the picks to go get him. So then it's like, okay, well, I know what Davies had as a Bantam. I've been falling enough through Swift Current. Let's bring him in. And that's just been one of the biggest additions, probably the quietest biggest addition in the WHL. Like, I feel like it doesn't get talked about a ton, in terms of our media perspective, because of all the splashy moves that were made during the season. But I think that was one of the biggest ones there, because Portland's got a free 30-plus goal scorer already, and we're not even in February. So that kind of kick-started everything, where now you have the scoring depth, and you bring back 3 20-year-olds, all forwards, plus him. So it's like, okay, now you're pretty top-loaded there from the scoring front. Let's shore up the defensive side, because everyone always wants a premium on defense. Well, then when you get a Tyson Jugnauth, who comes in as a high-end NHL draft pick with Seattle, so he comes to Pacific Northwest, he really, really fit in great with this group. Like, his style of play is the Portland style of play. Up-tempo, move the puck, he's got a good offensive mind, he is so skilled. Like, there was that, I think it was his first weekend now, when he was in Spokane, jaw is probably still on the ground.
He
held the puck in the offensive zone 3-on-3 against three Spokane defenders for like literally a minute 20 seconds. Like, I don't know how Mike Boyle survived
Oh man, that was the same thing. That was the craziest clip. That was the craziest clip. Shook a couple guys, shot missed, rebound, and Boyle's like hanging on for dear life in overtime here. So
I would be too for the visiting guy. I'd be like, who the hell is this Jugnauth kid that they just added to the roster, right? Like, I had to worry about him in my game notes 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But he's, he's really one too that when you come into a new team, and this is where we all see from the additions that, okay, where do I fit in the locker room? Like, they kind of got to, like, they stay a little quiet to begin with. And then all of a sudden, like, Tyson's personality is out there and I'm having great conversations with him. And I know he's really liking it with his team. So he fit in extremely well. And I had a feeling that if Mike was going to pull a move like that, you weren't going to just stop at one.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you can't be a stranger to the Eastern Conference and looking over there and seeing Saskatoon put their chips in. And then you see Moose Jaw, I believe, spending at least 5 first-round picks in the last calendar year.
Crazy.
To acquire the players they did. So, like, everybody's going for these players. They all think they can have a run. And it's kind of the same thing in East and West, where there's going to be, like, this juggernaut of a matchup where only one team is going to come out of each. And then at that point, you got a scrapping chance. Like, you give me a best-of-7 series, who knows what happens with injuries in the playoffs, who's dealing with stuff under the radar that you don't know of. So then the fact that you got Davies, you got Jugnauf, and you had Danielson, and John, let me tell you, like, Nate Danielson is probably better than I've seen him on tape.
Wow.
Like, you watch him on tape, and you're like, yeah, like, I really enjoyed watching him in World Juniors. I know he's going to bring that number one center. He's going to be a good player. You know, they always use Bud words, like, he's a 200-foot player,
sure,
this and that. Then all of a sudden, you see him in action, and you're like, wait, this guy hasn't figured out the Portland system yet? He just stripped 3 pucks at neutral ice. Like, he scored in his debut. He factored into a couple points. He was making big, like, he had probably 5 elite scoring chances in his first weekend. You're thinking, oh boy, like, but, you know, let's fire up the engine here. This guy's going to get going when he really clicks in this Portland system. So I think that was kind of the addition too. That's like, okay, that bolstered your top 6. And that also, in a way, it kind of proves to your locker room, like, let's go, boys. Like, we told you last year, we loved the group. We believed in the group. We wanted to ride with it. But, you know, you kind of alluded to it. Mike said the same thing, and I haven't heard him say that in my 5 years in Portland, mm-hmm, until last year, that we want to be adders by the deadline. We want to make sure we get in some pieces that can help this team, because we know you know, 2 years ago, he's like, we gutted it out with a bunch of 18-year-old D-men. We had no 20-year-old defensemen that 1 year. And now all of a sudden, now you're in a year where you could lose 3 or 4 of your D-men because either A, they would have aged out, or B, they're likely going to go on to play pro deals. So, you know, obviously it's no stranger. The window to win is now. So I think it kind of just validates everything when you see those moves made by Mike and his staff, that, you know, they're in the same boat too. They're saying, let's go for this.
You're in Vegas, NFC, AFC championship games on Sunday. Instead of just texting about our prop bets here, what are you liking? Have you checked the line out? What's going on here in Nick Merrick's world here?
You know, I should really check the lines here in a minute. I probably got the blinking lights staring at me every way I look here in Vegas. I don't know what the updated lines were. I definitely like Baltimore to win. I mean, here's a real question I could throw back. Do you believe in the, I guess we can call it the Super Bowl logo gate, where the colors, ooh, of the Super Bowl logos kind of match the teams? Because the last 2 years, if you look back, they're crazy how close they were to the team colors, because this year kind of has like that burgundy red color, and you think, well, it's probably the Niners. Then you see this purple color, and you're like, well, it could be the or the Chiefs. You know, it could be or the purple pulls at the Baltimore for sure in the logo, because I think they went with like that Sonoran desert sunset.
Yes,
but the only team left that's purple is the Ravens. So I guess by default, the red has to be the Chiefs, because it couldn't be the Niners and Ravens, obviously. But it's kind of interesting. Like, I definitely like Baltimore. I feel like that's my team to win the Super Bowl if I was picking. Just seeing how well, and I feel like the analytics, it's one of those things. I followed after the March Madness stuff a year ago, where they say they got to be, you know, top 20 in KenPom defense and top 20 in KenPom offense. And somebody had a very similar stat line where they're like, they need to be top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. And there were like 7 teams that hit that in the playoffs. So then they went through it and they're like, you need a turnover rating that's positive. And all of a sudden eliminated 2. And they pretty much said like their top 3 teams were going to be the Niners, the Cowboys, and the Ravens. And, you know, 2 of those 3, no surprise, are still alive. So I feel like that, you know, if you want to follow the analytics that some of those crazy people put out in terms of that, I'd be going with that one. But I don't know, props is hard. I feel like that's always let's wake up on Friday and Saturday and see what the books are saying.
Oh, totally. Throw a few texts, throw a few, you know, feelers out there, see what the feel is. You mentioned that whole Super Bowl color, you know, there's the conspiracy here in Canada, and I think Darren Rovell tweeted it. And by the way, if you ever seen Darren Rovell run, you got to go find that clip of Darren Rovell sprinting. It's bad. There was in Global News, which is a big thing up in Canada, they said they were listing the Super Bowl acts that would perform, like the national anthem and halftime, and they said at Super Bowl between Baltimore and San Francisco. So
no way.
There was talk of like, oh, did Global get the NFL script ahead of time and drop something here? So that's been a bit of the whole conspiracy thing the last week here.
Oh, wow. Yes, yeah, I would. It's odd when you go through this. Like, it's pretty funny that the NFL plays into it, right? Because they know where they stand. Like, I feel like they have the commercials. Like, I was dying to see that some of those NFL commercials when they do that conference break room commercial where they all sit down.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
great. It's great.
I think, was it Richard Sherman? Was it Sherman that was in that? I love it. Like, that type of stuff. And they're like, let's have a plane just, you know, drop some footballs from center field. They're going to hit. And then all of a sudden, out comes Tom Brady, and he's back. And you're thinking, like, how do they come up with this stuff?
Yeah, it's great. No, it's great. It's funny. They just play into the whole everyone that says it's rigged and all that stuff here. So
yes.
That's great.
Yes.
Well, I know that we have to get the schedule meetings here and outlaw hockey on Sunday afternoon in the WHL. That's what we need to do. That's the next goal.
That is very true. Yeah, honestly, well, that's the one thing that we're talking about. It makes me a little sad. Not super sad. You know what I mean? We're talking football here, and I'm thinking, man, there were some icy conditions in Portland, and then Seattle-Portland game had to get rescheduled. Both me and my one of my coworkers, Peter, in the office, we were saying, hey, this is the first time since Peter's been here we get to watch the AFC-NFC Conference Championships, and next thing you know, it's like, oh, game's rescheduled to Sunday. You're going to have a 3-3. Enjoy the home game.
That's like, right, too. That's right.
Miss both games. I'll be at the VMC, so I'll hop at the computer.
That's right. That's
the overdrive there with that Ram.
That's right. This weekend. That's right. You got scheduled to Sunday. That's right. Yeah. Darn it. Wow.
Well, it was going to be a Friday in Kennewick, Saturday in Spokane, which is a nice trip. And then obviously make a long bus ride home after Spokane, which is, I don't know, six and a half hours. Now it's like, oh, great. Now I can get home at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. We got to play a 5 p.m. game against Seattle at night.
Yeah. No, hey, I don't know if this was a WHL podcast or an NFL betting pod, but it's somewhere the lines have been blurred. They've been blurred a little bit here today.
Come for the WHL talk, stay for the NFL bet.
You got her, bud. You got her.
Ravens money line. Put it, guys.
You're in Vegas. I don't want to take any more of your time. You're at the MGM, so go down and get some of those paper bets and enjoy the time with your pops there. And in no time, you'll be back up our way in February. So we'll look forward to that and look forward to, you know, watching some of these top teams battle it out here the rest of the way.
I agree. I'm excited to scoreboard watch with a lot of these teams. And let's have a good second half of the season. Excited to see you too, John, in person finally in there next month.
Let's shuffle off to Prospects Corner now for Mastodon Equipment. I like how I have some of these like heavy-duty equipment sponsors on the show. Kind of toughens us up a little bit, right? Mastodon Equipment, your mobile servicing and repair specialist, from coming up with a preventative maintenance program for all your equipment, aerial work platform inspections, pre-purchase inspections, emergency repairs. They have you covered. Go big. Go with Mastodon. Shout out to Sheldon this week. We got to get him back on the show here in the spring. Let's talk about a defenseman who's having a great season. Nicholas Morin, playing with the North Shore Winter Club's under-18 team. Defenseman. He's a 2007. So still a lot of time here on his calendar this year. 21 games, 5 goals, 26 assists for 31 points in 21 games. He's a defenseman. 6-foot defenseman, 161. I'm told from some Blazer scouts that he moves the puck well. He's a good skater. And he's having a big jump here, year over year. That's what you look for. Big jump year over year. Nick Morin. And let's keep in mind, a 9th round pick. 195th overall in the 2022 draft. So the Blazers, the one thing from next season to this season is they won't have quite the turnover on the blue line that we saw. Right? There was so much turnover. In fact, there's been a lot of turnover the last couple of years on the blue line. Won't be the case next year. You lose Logan Barrows for sure. So you're looking for one or two defensemen likely to step in. So who comes in? Well, Issa Gurum, could he be the full-time guy? Maybe Nick Morin can come in too and take a shot here at a full-time spot. He's a guy to watch for, everybody. Nick Morin, put him in your program here on Prospects Corner for Mastodon Equipment. Okay, so let's get into some buying and selling for Kyle Panasek, Westwind Royal LePage Realty, trusted real estate professionals. Kyle, sell. Panny, sell. 250-819-9332. Find him on his social media too, Instagram. Okay, so let's begin. First of all, the obvious one this week, buying Olin Zellweger.
Buy, buy, buy!
Good stuff. Great debut. It'll be good to catch up with him when we can, but hopefully he keeps going here. am buying
buy.
Victoria, the city of Victoria. Let's make a Memorial Cup host happen here. Great city for a major event. Yes, they have to do their side of the hockey operations to build towards that. They have Cole Reshny, who's 16. I don't think they could get it together in Victoria for 2026. Don't think that. That's kind of like a Spokane Medicine Hat sort of front runner thing right now. But maybe 2029. Let's make something happen, though. How about the Everett Silvertips? Gotta buy them this
week. Buy.
They're rolling. 8 straight wins as we speak. And really have set themselves up to say, like, hey, this isn't about Portland and Prince George. It's about the Silvertips, too. And they very well could be the number one seed. They're rolling. Look at their schedule. They have some games coming up here of note. But really, I think they've put themselves in a good spot. Anyways, if they stay healthy, that's been their big problem the last couple of years is staying healthy. Let's sell something now. Let's
sell.
Ducks head coach Greg Cronin for this comment.
You know what? I didn't notice him that much, which is really good.
Yeah, I don't like it. We talked about that on the move. I didn't even notice him. Okay.
Sell.
Hey, so last week we went into the city and some of the political stuff with city council and that. And that seems like the only thing I get a reaction on sometimes on buying and selling. We talked about the Nancy Beppel situation, trying to bring forward a motion that had nothing to do with the city of Kamloops.
Sell.
I heard a lot about that. Got some phone calls, some text messages. You know, we just said basically stick to the program here. Smarten up. But I got nothing on that front today. We won't go down that road. In the newsroom, as we speak here, Brett Minear, who runs his 3-6 show, he's trying to coin a phrase right now for Mayor Reed Hamer Jackson. That's like the biggest feud going in the city these days. Minear and the mayor. So he's trying to tag the mayor as Mayor Mai Tai for the Mexico Zoom in sessions there for city council meetings. You know, kind of zoom in from the tropics. So anyways, we'll see if that sticks. But I'm staying out of that one. Okay, I know to stay out of that one. Speaking of that, I think I'm due for a tropical vacation here somewhere. Maybe join the mayor on the beach at Cabo. Actually, that reminds me. I was on the ferry to Victoria with the team, and I got into conversation with Bill Ranford, you know, the former Oilers great, works for the LA Kings now, has worked for them forever, actually. And he has a place in Maui, and my wife and I are going to Maui here in the summertime. So I was just picking his brain about Maui. He's got the place there. He was giving me all sorts of tips, places to go, best happy hours, best spots, places to avoid. All of this while I'm thinking, this is Bill Ranford. And I idolized this guy when I was a kid, all those spectacular saves he made with the Oilers. But we had a good chat. I didn't get the invite to the Ranford pad in Maui, but maybe we'll look him up when I'm there. We'll hit a couple happy hours together. And we'll talk some hockey, but thanks to Bill or Billy or yeah, that was a great conversation. Hey, Hockey Day in Canada and Victoria, good job. We'll buy that. They did a good job on that. While out and about, ran into Elliot Friedman and Kevin Bieksa. Saw those two out. Kevin sat down at our table on Saturday night. And we had a chat. I just wanted to share with him that I think he does a great job on the panel. Like, I think I might have said, like, I think he saved the panel on hockey night. Just he brings a perspective that a guy that not only played the game, but just sort of wrapped up his career. So and he said thank you, and he says that he's heard a lot of great feedback from players playing right now. Just wanted to share that real quick. Elliot Friedman, by the way, too, super guy. Nice guy. Met him, I don't know, 20 years ago? At an NHL draft, maybe not 20, but close to 20. So we'll buy those two guys. And also, hopefully coming up on a future Blaze, we have a Shorzy character in Kamloops. Neil Clark plays a humble former NHLer on that Crave series, Shorzy. Now, I haven't seen that series. People say I got to get into it. Maybe I'm too cheap to get a subscription. Maybe I have too many streaming services already that hammer my credit card every month. Yes, that's the case, to be honest with you. But it's a show about senior hockey, and it's a hockey show. It's pretty relatable. So maybe I should. Maybe I should get into it. What do you think, folks? Tweet at me. Should I get into Shorzy? I want to have this Kamloops actor slash hockey player on the show here, too, at some point. That'd be great. It's buying and selling for Kyle Panasik, Westwind, Royal LePage, Realty Kamloops.
You've got mail.
Okay, it's fan mail for the Mattress King. By the way, have to give a shout out to the Mattress King. Our family won a queen size mattress from a contest they did online. So recently picked that out. Stacy's daughter Jamie got a mattress out of the deal. Now I'm the one that has to find a box spring for it. So maybe I'm the big loser here. But fan mail for the Mattress King. Lots of people know they have mattresses. Yes, they do. A lot of people don't know they have furniture and electronics. I can tell you they have the best deals in town. They are the Mattress King, Mount Paul way across from Rona. So let's check the mailbag. It is a little light this week. A little light. I guess we're through the trade deadline and all the questions like that are over. But Frazzle at Frazzle Sports checks in. He says, can you spill the beans on how close Josh Doan came to signing with the Blazers and when? I think last episode I referenced that was a possibility, and I believe it was. And I think it came after his first year at Arizona State University. And it sounded like something could happen. The one sort of, you know, the one thing that held it back, I don't know on whose side, but he would have been a 20-year-old. So that would have, now you have to make room for Josh Doan. So who's out on the 20-year-old front? They already sort of had Dalen Kiefler and acquired Ryan Hofer. Maybe they don't have to acquire Ryan Hofer if a guy like Josh Doan is there and available. But he ended up getting drafted by, of course, the Arizona Coyotes. He's now signed, so that puts him in pro. But had this happened, you know, maybe before he signed, before that season, he could have been here. I heard there was talk. I don't know how close it got, but the conversation, I believe, did happen, did take place after his first year at ASU. Aaron Cassidy at ACAS22, with the picks acquired, do you see the team going full haul over and drafting tons of players or weaponizing some to bring in help for next year? Great question, Aaron. And I think you hit the nail on the head. You mentioned what they'll do, and they'll get a mix of both. I definitely think, as you put it out, they'll weaponize those picks. I think this team all of a sudden needs some 20-year-olds next season, right? Like traded away potential 20s here, right? Shavan Ohm, Connor Levis, who were penciled in as 20-year-olds on the roster. Now you need those guys. Team has no 19-year-old forwards right now. Right now, they're 20-year-olds. Well, for next year, as we speak, Dylan Ernst. So there you go. So they have room. And make no bones about it, they have a lot of picks here the next few years. So I would expect them to acquire some top 20-year-old talent. They definitely will. And that's something to be excited about for sure. But yeah, they'll also use those first and second rounders to draft players and try to get a good base of prospects in the system. Team's young right now, right? They have a lot of 16-year-old, 17-year-old forwards on the roster right now. And that's a good situation to have. But, you know, like really because of all the turnover, they've had to accelerate these players into the WHL. When you have, you know, 9 forwards or whatever it was turnover from last year, I mean, you have to maybe accelerate some players into the league quicker. So it'll be nice to have some bit of a prospect stable. And I think definitely they'll try to get that. But yeah, oh yeah, I would expect him to go out and really kick tires on some quality 20-year-olds for next season. Brotherhood of Blazer goaltenders named Dylan. He goes, do you and Regan Bartel ever place any friendly wagers on these heated rivalry matchups? Dinners, beers, etc. Well, I tell you this about Regan. We don't, but it's like he wins the bets because every time we hang out, which is fairly rare these days as far as like not at the rink, maybe a couple times a year, I'm the one that always picks up the tab. But I do that because he helps me out a lot with my other show podcast we do for the WHL, provides a lot of content for me, does some interviews that we use. So I owe it to Regan. So we don't bet on anything like that. We don't really go at it that seriously when it comes to the head-to-head matchups, but I'm the one picking up the tab, I guess we could say. Warm Up the Bus asks a great question that I want to think about before we answer it. But it's a really good one because there's been some players over the years. The question is this: who's a player you've seen in the WHL that you were surprised never made much of an impact in the NHL? And I would go no further than, you know, some of the great WHL talent or great Blazer talent over the years before my time. You know, all these guys have put up big points, but maybe it never translated to the NHL game. That's usually the ones that put up the big points. That is never guaranteed at the next level. You know, I think of like Pavel Brendl, the great goal scorer he was for the Calgary Hitmen, because you could never find footing in the NHL. And there's a lot of that goes on. You can be a top scorer in this league, but you have to sort of have the complete game to play at the NHL level. But let me think about that, because that's a good question for sure. Andrew at @ATR_sports, will Brunick be back from the top prospects game for Friday? Yes, that's the plan if all the flights line up. And also, any insight from him or previous players that have played in that, how weird it is to play for a whole team of players trying to potentially all outshine each other? That's a great point. Yeah, it's such a weird setup. It's like, it's a team game, but yet it's all individual. That's the, you know, team red, team white. It might as well be like 40 separate individual private contractors on the ice for this game. Like, are you really going to battle for like team red? Like, let's win this one for team white. Like, not really. But I get the point. It sounds like this might be it from this current format. So we'll wait and see on that. Like the profile picture, by the way, of Andrew. He's got Montana Onyebuchi celebrating a goal, one of my favorites over the years here. So I said, great profile pic. Fan mail. Folks, we have to run this week. It's fan mail. It's for the Mattress King. Okay, let's wrap it up now for Pleasure Pools Plus. Our closing remarks for Lead at Pleasure Pools Plus, where you can check out their massive roster of affordable H2O, Cal, Sundance Spas, hot tub repairs, service advice. You can talk to Len or Sari and their staff today. I know they had that massive fundraiser. I'll have to figure out and talk to Len about how it went over the Christmas holidays. Great thing they put on for the hospice, for Kamloops Food Bank, and the toy drives. So well done for them here every year. We should get some totals on that if we can. Okay, here we are, home and home. Kelowna Rockets schedule really slows down here a little bit. It really, you look at it here, after this weekend, 14 home games, 9 on the road. And if they can play like they've done here in the last few games on the road, maybe they can get themselves back in that playoff discussion. Maybe they can. They have 4 games with Seattle ahead, team that's really struggled this year. By the way, talk about teams at the Memorial Cup last year. You know who has the fewest wins of the 4 participants at the Memorial Cup this season? The Quebec Remparts. 8 wins on the year in Quebec. We knew how old they were. They had like, what, 1 18-year-old? Or maybe they had 2, and one was the backup goaltender. They're struggling. It's been a bit of a grind. You got Seattle and the Blazers, bottom of the Western Conference right now. Peterborough's had some success, but they made some massive moves at the trade deadline to try and recoup some assets as well. So that's a bit of an update on last year's Memorial Cup. Got the Rockets on the road Friday. Join us then. 6 o'clock face-off Saturday back on home ice. Here there's a great crowd for that game. Here there's a fantastic crowd brewing. So great to see and hear. The fan support is sticking with this young group. Hang in there, folks. Blazers and the Rockets here set to do battle. And then it's a week off. Wenatchee here the following Friday. Thanks for being part of the Blaze, everybody. Love the feedback. Love the text messages. Love the tweets back and forth at me. Love to just interact here and talk some Blazer hockey and tell some stories along the way. So thanks to Rivershore Golf Links as well, our title sponsor. That's episode 18 of the Blaze. Have a great weekend.